Scott, I thank you for bringing us here together, Lord, as not just as a church, but as a family, Lord. We all play our different roles, Lord Jesus, but we all come here every Sunday, no matter what's happening in the week, to spend time together, spend time with you, spend time in fellowship. I just pray that the words that come out of my mouth will be good unto you, Lord Jesus, that the things that are from you are remembered and the things that aren't are forgotten, Lord Jesus, that you just use me as your vessel today, God, just to speak out what you put on my hearts, and I pray for receiving hearts, Lord Jesus. Just pour your spirit on this place and just really be with us. Amen. Okay, so as normal, I've got my laptop, so I'm going to be like this for the whole thing, probably, but that's how it is. So I've come to talk to you today about worship. This is really weird. I'm used to looking at this way and just seeing everybody, but I've got to use my neck. What about if I step back? So I've come to speak about worship and what it means to worship, what worship is to us, because I feel as a church, not just as Junction, but churches all over England, all over the world, we sometimes, one, forget what it is to worship. We come to church, do our worship, but sometimes we forget what it is on a Sunday. Or two, get too scared of what people think of you when you're worshipping. I do it all the time, especially in England, because we care what people think. I'm pretty outgoing and outspoken. If you know me, then you'll know that. I know exactly. Believe it or not, I'm not one that really cares what people think about me. If you don't like me, it's your problem. Build a bridge and get over it, or jump off it. I'm not dealing with it. I know it's not my problem. But there are occasions during worship when I want to clap, I want to dance, I want to scream, but I get a little bit too scared. You know, because I can be a bit of a wimp at times. Because I'm the only person doing it. You know, you don't like being the only person doing something. So I wanted to talk into that a little bit, and what the Bible says about worship, how to worship, and what it's all about, really. I found three main reasons that really to focus on, that we there's lots of reasons in the Bible why to worship and ways to worship, but I'm focusing on three that we can do at church, and that we do at church as coming together as a family to worship. So one is praise. Pretty straightforward one, praise. Simply praise and prayers to him, focusing on that. So we can worship our God by lifting out shouts of praise to him, like we did at the beginning. But what is praise, and why is it slightly different to worship? In the dictionary, it describes praise as to express approval and commendation of applaud, and to eulogize, to express adoration or to glorify. Whereas to worship, it's the act of feeling of adoration, of homage, the paying of religious reference, as in prayer and praise to him. The act of feeling of difference and respect and honour and virtue. That's what worship is. So praise, as you see, praise is a part of worship. We express ourselves in worship through praise, through shouting out and speaking out, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me this week. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you, Lord, for creating the birds, for creating the flowers and all of that. We shout out during praise. We give praises of thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should thank him for everything, is basically what that verse says. Always give thanks. But does something great ever happen to you in the week? You got a new job and you think, oh, when I get to church, if I can, I'm going to shout that out, I'm going to praise, doing praise during the week. But it doesn't affect anyone else in the church. It affects you. God gave me a new job. It affects me. Why would I shout out in church around people at church? Because it doesn't really affect them. I should shout things out for the church. I should shout things out, thanks for giving us a new building or a new sound system or something like that. It doesn't affect the church. But don't be afraid to shout out thanks to God for your blessings. You know, shout out whatever. Because praise isn't for the person to the left of you, the person to the right of you, it's for God. You know, and it's good to shout out praise and thank God for things that he has done for you. You know, he is our loving father. He likes to hear thank you every now and then. And he likes to hear, you know what, Dad, I love you a lot. You know, he likes that. And we shouldn't be afraid to do that as a church because it doesn't benefit other people. And by one person doing it, it encourages other people to do it. You can say, God, thank you for my new dog. I expect that from you in a couple of weeks. Thank you for my new job. Thanks for this. Thanks for that. You know, you can do it. It's thanking God. So, yeah, that's thanks, giving it out through praise. Two, simply we can worship through song. Psalm 150, verses 1 to 6 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. And it goes on to say, praise him according to his excellence and greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with flute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Cymbals. Hey, like the meerkat. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Now, when I first started at Junction, it was very rare that you would hear an actual instrument. Does anyone remember that? And we'd sit and face that and we'll click a song. And what should we do next? And we'll click that song. And we'll sing along, which is great, you know, with praising. But as a church, we've come such a long way in sung worship. I really feel we have been blessed with two amazing worship leaders over here that they write songs for worship for God, bring them to church so we can sing, and then we worship through song. It's amazing. And I can't wait for the day where we get a Joey and Mike Junction CD to put out. Right, we can rival Hillsong, I think. So yeah, you know, it's amazing. We've come a long way. But if you look more into that verse I've just read, which you can't see actually, because I didn't make a PowerPoint. I'm rubbish at PowerPoints. You'll know this. There's exclamation points after everything. Now, could just be the translation. You know, they've missed the full stop and pressed exclamation mark accidentally. But I like to think it's important. It says do this because it doesn't just want us to be quiet about it in the background. They're singing, but I'll whisper. You know, sing it loud. Be proud of what you're singing. I think that's what it's saying. You know, be proud of what you're doing and who you are worshipping. You know, so if I was to read this, as it says here, it says, praise the Lord! Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellence and greatness. You know, it's loud, it's happy. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with flute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. And praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Yes. I'm done. No. Do you know, it's I'm going to have to in a second. Just loud. And David wrote loads of psalms. And he makes a point often of saying, shout for joy. You know, Psalm 100, 1 to 2 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Shout for joy. I'm sure if you look through psalms, you'll find that more than full stops. You know, it's everywhere, more than capital, everywhere. Shout for joy. He called on people to make a joyful shout. It was just his thing. Not a joyful, quiet mutter, but a shout. A joyful shout. I mean, we shout out songs when we go to a concert. You know, when you go to a concert, everyone's singing. You shout it out, you pound it out. You kind of not worship the band, but you know the songs, so you sing it with confidence. But we get to praise and shout for the King of Kings. Now, he created everything you see out there. He created every one of us. He created the people that created those instruments. You know, he created everything, and we get to shout out for that. So that's exciting. But we sometimes think, oh, what would people think? Does it matter? It's what he thinks. So, and he really, you know, he blesses being bold for him. He's the creator of everything. So, yeah, singing, basically. And thirdly, dancing. Now, as English, we're not good at this, because as English people, we're not very good at dancing. Come on, then. Like, apart from Gabby. If you think you're good at dancing, come and do it. There you go. No, nobody's good at it. Let's face it, many of us can't dance, and we like to stand behind the chair and lean on it. Look over there next Sunday. The worship band goes up, I'm the first up, and I'll find a chair to lean on. I'm comfortable behind the chair, leaning on it. That's where I find myself comfortable. But on the odd occasions, when my brothers rock up, and my dad comes up to church, and we go to church together, I'm excited, because if a banger comes on, we're dancing. We don't care. You know, it's because we're together. Singly, my brother doesn't dance at church, my dad doesn't dance at church, and I don't really. But why is that? Why can't I dance every Sunday and just be free? I love to dance. I can't do it, but I love to do it. If you ask them at Jam, I'm dancing 24/7. Do you know, why do I need somebody else to be doing it with me and doing exactly the same thing? If you notice at church, if someone does this, the person next to them will do this. And if they change, you start throwing one of these up. So, or even at a wedding and stuff, it's all the same. Someone else will do it and you'll be in a circle just doing the same thing. But if someone does something else and they don't copy, they stop. Why do we do that? Do you know? It's ridiculous, but it is. It's typically British. But that's what we do. That's what me and my brothers do on a Sunday. We do the same dance, and they do one too complicated for me. It's just the way it is. Do you know, I just find it so funny. Exodus 15:20-21 says, "Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, also Moses' sister, just, you know, took a timbrel," which is a tambourine, "in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver have been hurled into the sea.'" So it's when the Egyptians were fleeing and sea caved in on them, you know that story. I'm not going into that. But Miriam was the leader of the women when they left Egypt. And the first thing she did when God done something for them will say, "Right, I'm going to sing a poem and you lot are going to dance. Where are your tambourines at? Let's have a boogie." It's just the first thing she did, which I think is great. God done something and they danced for joy. Now, I'm not saying... Wait, behave, yeah? Where are your it would be great. Now, I'm not saying every Sunday we should start breakdancing. I'm not saying that. You know, we should come in and start shouting hallelujahs. I'm not saying we've got to change the way we worship. I'm just saying we've got to be a bit more encouraged not to be scared of what people think. Do you know, just don't be afraid to do what you want to do. Worship isn't for us. You know, it is for God. Worship is for God. It's not for us to say we've done it on a Sunday, or I'm going to go and sing along, happy days, done. No, it's to give praise, to give adoration up to him, up to God. It's to come and say, "You know what, Dad, I love you, and I'm going to sing that. You know, I'm going to shout that out to you." You know, and through real sacrifice, not caring, just sing, put your hands up, kneel, worship. You know, speak out in tongues. Do what you want to do. Do not be scared. And when you're in that place and you're like, "Actually, I don't care what other people are thinking," and you're just being an open sacrifice to God, that is the moment where he comes and he impacts your life. If you're too busy thinking about everything else and you've not got your full focus on him, he might be banging on that door and you might be thinking, was that him banging or is someone just moving their chair? Do you know, you've got to give yourself up and not be scared. We used to do worship nights as Junction and with different churches. And I remember one, I can't remember with Junction or with the Beacon. You know, I was standing in the corner, you know, and it was just like it was me and God. It was absolutely amazing. You know, if I wanted to clap, whether the song was slow, I don't care, I was clapping. If I wanted to worship, if I wanted to kneel down, it was the first time I've really experienced being free in worship and not caring what people think. I went and hid in a corner to do it, you know. I'm not saying, look at me, I'm great. But that moment, God took a hold of me, you know, and I felt his presence on me. And it was just incredible. And I just want you guys and everybody to be able to experience that. You know, shout out. That's all God wants. God wants people not to be afraid of people and to focus on him. That's all he wants. Sometimes, like I said, it's not all about being loud. It's not all about clapping and dancing. If you want to kneel and just say nothing, if you want to sit down and read the Bible, if you just want to listen and raise your hands, that's fine. If that's the way you worship, if that's the way you feel like worshiping. If God says, shout out, come on, what have you got? Do it. You know? Has anyone heard that Matt Redman song, When the Music Fades? Surprise, surprise. Now, does everyone know the story behind that? So I'll just explain it in case you don't. So basically, pastor at Matt Redman's church, leader of the church, thought that they was losing something in worship. It was getting a bit too much about these guys, about the band. It was getting a bit too much about them and people just singing but not worshipping. So he got rid of the band for a whole term or whatever it was they did it for. And they worshipped in silence for weeks and weeks. Eventually, someone in the corner started singing a song. And the rest of the congregation started singing a song. And they were just realising what it's all about. They didn't need a band leading them. And Matt Redman wrote the song, When the Music Fades, just to give it back to God. And he asked to do it. He went up and said, look, can I please go and do this song through worship? And he went up and done it with just his guitar. A simple song, just to realise, let's get back to it. This is what it's all about. It's all about God. And that's an important thing. You know, could the band come up? And So what we're going to do today, we're going to, if you could close with a curtain, switch lines. If you struggle with your migraines or epilepsy or anything, and something, just go and talk to Mark or switch everything off. Yeah, of course you can, yeah. I'll give you the mini mic.
Talking about what you've been talking about, there's one or two people here that I was sharing with earlier. I was encouraged to go to Hillsong Sisterhood evening on Friday evening. And during the prayers, I just gave myself up to the Holy Spirit, and I was praying into that situation that was laid on my heart at that time, and I just stood for, I don't know how long, might have been a neosecond, it might have been longer, I have no idea, but I was swathed in gold.
Brilliant. It's amazing, just giving yourself up. Yeah, if we could turn the blue ones off, I think. Or unplug them. Some of them have been the blue ones. So basically, it's just to encourage, like, just a different space, you know, we're going to spend a bit of time to worship, and if you want prayer, go for prayer in the corner, I'm sure people will be around. If you want to sing out, if we're worshipping too long and you've got to go, just go, but we're just going to come back to the heart of worship, really, and just give ourselves up to God. Spend time in worship for God and just get back to what it's all about. I mean, if someone starts wandering over there, some just go. So I'm going to pray, and then if you guys all want to stand, and I'll pray and worship. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for you and everything that you do, God. I thank you that we get to come here and worship you. I just pray that barriers will be broken, that fears will be stilled, Lord, and put to the side, and that we could just get back to what it's about and just worship for you, Lord, that if we don't know the song, it doesn't matter. We can just carry on in worship to you, Lord, and just let freedom, if you want to, people want to speak out, let them speak out. And just really be with us and fill this place with your Spirit, God. Amen.
So in worship, the focus is not on ourselves and our circumstances, but on the one who is above. Worship, unlike any other act, reminds us of who God is, the one who is and was and is to come. And that's a quote from Chris Tomlin. Just use this time to just speak to God, to give everything to him, your creator, the one who loves you so, so much, the one who you love just with all of your being. Let's just spend this time either praying to him or sitting in silence and listening to him, or just screaming and praising his name. Dance, cry, laugh, just sing, whatever you want to do. This time is for you and God, the God who was and is to come.
It's not what you have required.
Jesus, this is a new experience for all of us here at Junction, because this is a different way of doing worship, a different order of doing it. Lord Jesus, there's more worship. I just pray that you really connect with every single person here, Lord Jesus, that they don't leave away from, like they don't walk away from here, Lord Jesus, without hearing something from you, without experiencing you in a new way, Lord Jesus. Break down walls and break down barriers here, Lord Jesus. Help people to just have freedom, to just let go and praise you. Maybe life is rubbish right now, and all you want to say is, did you forget about me? I'm here. Notice me. And God's there going, oh my goodness, I made you. I never, ever forgot you. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I'm going through it there with you. Even if it doesn't seem like it right now. Just scream out to your Father that you love him so much, that you want to renew your relationship with him. He's there waiting. He's never left. So people need to hear that today, that he never leaves your side. He's always there with you. Just waiting. Waiting to hold you, waiting to hug you, to help you through everything that's going on. Maybe other people don't know what's going on in your life, but oh my goodness, He knows so much. He can also see the other side. He can see how you escape this. He can see that. I get the picture of a dark tunnel, like a train tunnel. And you're in the train tunnel and you're like, there's just darkness. I can't see anything else. There's no way out. I can't do it. I can't do it. But there's a light at the other end. And Jesus is standing there saying, come on, you can do it. Just fall into me and I'll catch you through everything that's going on. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are such a great, great God. You are a loving Father. You never, ever leave our side, even though it feels like it. I've prayed that this week, that where have you been? And then you're there saying, I've never, ever left you. So let's spend this time just thanking him for his love. Maybe asking him those difficult questions. Why did this happen? Where were you when this happened? And just remember and be reminded that he never left. That he never leaves. That he loves you so much. Sing from your heart to your King.
I've got a message for Junctions. Bear with me because that's not very prepared. I've had inspiration this week from God of things he's got in his mind. The first is the Father in heaven loves you. And it's true that by grace he loves you and forgives you the way you are. As a prodigal father or the prodigal son. But for the love for him, bear with me, I'm going to have to read it because I haven't prepared it that. But it's an important message. But for the love for him, the love you've got for him, he wants you to do the right things. And what's right in your mind, that's what he wants you to do. And he wants you to be thankful for his good gifts to you and he wants you to make him proud. Although it's been said that good deeds are just only filthy rags to him because he still loves you the way you are. It's not the first time in the Bible that the Bible is contradicting itself. To be thankful and respectful of your God, wouldn't you want to make him proud? So carry on being naughty like the prodigal son was. Is it the right thing? Because Jesus saves you by grace. Sorry, that's my timers. It's going really wrong this morning. But it's obviously a message trying not to be told. So if you are like the prodigal, well, we all are like the prodigal son and being naughty every day. And by grace, Jesus save us. But in reverence and respect for him, dying for our sin, we owe him to live a good life, to put away our previous selves as sinners and our sinners' behavior and embrace our past to be more like Jesus and to embrace the seven fruits of the Spirit. So be prepared. Learn what's on God's heart. Seek to have a relationship with him that starts with regular prayer, reading Bible, and ask yourself, what would Jesus do? God, you are wonderful, and I thank you for your good gift to me. God, I thank you for you want to have a relationship with me and everyone. Thank you, Lord. I want to make you proud. Prepare for the outpouring of the Spirit. I believe in order to understand. I don't need to understand in order to believe. I believe in order to understand. Amen.
Right from the beginning of our worship and our time together today, I've been thinking about our hearts. And I don't know if you noticed, most of the song mentioned heart. God wants our hearts to be in tune with his heart, for you. You may be holding desires in your heart for what you want now in your life. Perhaps they're not coming as you want them to. Perhaps you're holding on to things in your heart from the past that are hindering you in your walk with God. God wants you today to put your heart next to his heart. He wants to come in and cleanse your heart from those things that hinder your walk with him. His ways are not your way. His plans for you are perfect. So those desires that you have in your heart, what you want to happen in your life, trust God. Don't be disappointed when your plans don't come to fruition. God has bigger things in store for you. They may not be things that you see immediately now, but it's for the future, perhaps 5-10 years' time. God's preparing you now. God wants your heart to be prepared so you're ready for all that he has for you. We've been singing, "You give and take away." I want to turn that around the other way. You take away and give. So take away those things in your heart that are blocking, that you, your desires, that they're just so tightly held in your heart. Give them to God. He will give. He will give those plans, desires at the right time for you. Perhaps the time now is not that time, but he wants your heart to be in tune with his heart today. So start today, start the week with your heart close to God's heart. Amen.
Thank you for saving me. is my only home, Savior of the world. Great is your lonely heart. God, let your kingdom come. Your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Great is the Lord. Great is
you are perfect in all of your ways.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we today got to praise you, Lord Jesus. I pray that as we leave here this morning, that we will just continue praising you. That we know that praising is more than just singing in worship. That actually, it's declaring your glory every single place we go. It's praising you when something goes right. It's even praising you when something goes wrong, Lord Jesus. I thank you that every single person in this room is part of your family. They're sons and daughters of you, of a heavenly King. I just pray that people remember that as they walk out that door, Lord Jesus. They remember how loved they are by you. So much so that they can't wait to exclaim your name to any single person they come across. Lord, I thank you that you think so highly of us. Doesn't matter what we've done in the week, Lord Jesus. Doesn't matter if we spent no time with you whatsoever. You love us because you made us. You love us because when you look at us, you see perfection and beauty and strength. Even when we don't feel those things. Thank you that you're amazing. And I pray that we continue praising you in these weeks, Lord Jesus, that we continue praising your amazing name as we walk out that door, Lord Jesus. Be with us, protect us, guide us. And just thank you for loving us so, so much. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Scott, for your address. Are you in that zone of worship? You're very relaxed, isn't it? It's been very relaxing. It's just lovely. That's lovely. And as they say, just let's create worshipful hearts within us, you know, day by day, just learning to praise, learning to worship, laying ourselves down before God. And thank you for that, just that reminder, for that stuff that's for some of us maybe new. Just what is praise? What is worship? How do we worship a good and almighty God who loves us? And desires us to worship him during this week.